Good morning, everybody. This is Lori Wilson with you on Community Voice. Happy, happy Thursday. It is November the 8th, and we have a special guest today. I've been looking forward to talking to you, and I don't think we can think of a better day than the day after midterm elections to speak with our guest, Bob Berlin. He's the president of a mediation coaching and training company in Macon, the new Decision Management Associates. That's one of many of your line items on your CV, Bob. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You've done everything, I think.
Not quite.
By actual count. Unless, I don't think you were ever a male stripper, but I wouldn't put it past you.
Well, I did work for the Chippendales.
And you also, now where are you on your way? We usually Skype, but you are a very busy man. So you're calling us on the road.
Well, thank you for having me, Lori.
We have so much to talk about, but I do want to just brag on you a little bit. You're wonderful. You and Carolyn, you guys present wonderful training for mediation. You do mediations yourselves. You are a former judge. You're an attorney.
Yes, right.
And you did some
judge,
acting.
Judge, attorney, marriage and family therapist, law and college professor, and presently teaching in the MBA program at Mercer, leadership and negotiation.
And just before the show, when I called you, you also sold me a ton of, what was it, kielbasa sausage? I mean, the man can do everything. So today we want to talk about all things, or maybe half an hour's worth of things, having to do with conflict resolution, mediation, and then we'll hopefully end up being a little bit wiser for having spent the time. And I know I always am whenever I'm in Bob Berlin's company. So what do you mean by hot buttons? We were talking about that before the show. Tell everybody.
Well, we all, many of us have them. What triggers do we have that will light up our intense feelings about something? Politically, what does one candidate say that absolutely may set us afire?
Mm-hmm.
What makes us intense? And I'm not necessarily wanting to use the word anger, but something that oftentimes the hot buttons are associated with anger. Why aren't you doing what I think you should do? Why aren't you doing the right thing as I define it?
And these kind of manifest for me physiologically before my brain catches up to what it was that evoked that response in me.
I didn't catch the first part of what you said.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. No, it's okay. I was just saying that for me, when I've come to despise the word trigger, but I know what you mean. But whenever something makes me have that response, it's usually physiological first, and then it's cognitive.
Well, oftentimes what we're talking about is feelings and emotions, which are different.
Mm-hmm.
The emotions are what, there's a part of our brain called the amygdala that takes in all of the sensory stuff that is in the outside world, and then it fires it into the brain. We have immediate feelings. For instance, if you see a venomous snake, or for many of us, just see a snake in the woods, just seeing the snake may be frightening, because after we have that feeling, the emotion is, I don't know if that's venomous, but we're telling ourselves it is. Or we can't touch it, get near it, because it'll bite us, venomous or not. So the emotion is the story we put on what we see. A woman had a severe injury in a car wreck that damaged her amygdala, and she could walk right into a snake pit. She did near a zoo, and she had no fear at all, because the amygdala, I call the Homeland Security system, did not warn her that that's a potential danger. So we as humans, what are we putting on the emotions we receive? What's the story we put on it?
Okay.
Many women, especially when they get a divorce, when their significant other had disappointed them or violated their commitment, said, "I'll never marry again," they may fall in love, but then they may have an immediate attraction to somebody, but then the story they say, but look how hurt you were. That's the emotion. Therefore, I'm not going to be involved with any other person closely, that I'll get hurt again.
So is it possible that we can take these stories that don't maybe serve us, like the lady who resolved never to be vulnerable or to be in love again, can we retell ourselves, rewrite the stories and retell them to ourselves? Is that how we are able to overcome these sorts of traumas?
Wonderfully said, yes. There's even some forms of psychological therapies known as rebirthing. You can rewrite the stories. Mm-hmm. There are behaviorists and that are psychologists that will behaviorally change not what the stimulus is, but the response to it, which are the emotions. There are ways that, like Pavlov's dog, ring the bell, food.
Mm-hmm.
They salivate. You know, how can you change it? Ring the bell, no food. Ring the bell, no food.
Mm-hmm.
Until they get, so they're no longer stimulated by that. They're no longer responding to that stimulus as they had. Of course, you get into something else called rebuilding of trust. Many folks will say if a trust had been violated, I'm never going to trust that person again. I mean, Nietzsche said, I'm not saying that you lied to me. I'm saying that I can no longer trust you. There is a way that if there's a willingness to rebuild trust, then you can change the story you put on the emotions you experience.
Now, how does your practice, your mediation practice, enact what you have just told us about triggers? I imagine that you have to go into this kind of thinking and conversation with parties who are in conflict.
Well, oftentimes when folks come in conflict, there's pure rage.
Oh, no. We lost
him. We have to create...
Bob, I want to stop you for just... I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we lost you for a second, so can you start answering that all over again?
All right. When somebody comes in, oftentimes they're enraged, mm-hmm. just below the skin level,
mm-hmm.
so we have to create a sacred, what we call a sacred, safe place for them to allow that feeling to dissipate, because many times, if they're holding on to it, you really can't do anything. They can't access their critical thinking skills, their decision-making process. You really need to deal with it. And they're very legitimate, non-threatening, non-lethal ways to deal with the upsetness you might have with the other party. That may take some time. And then once that's done, and we had one mediation where the husband had gone on vacation numerous times, not with the family, but he wasn't alone, if you got my drift.
Yep.
The wife was extremely upset about it, threw him out with the clothes on his back, and said, that's all you're getting, and would give him nothing in all the negotiations they had. And then finally, given her the opportunity, he said, well, how do you feel about what I did? And she unloaded on him for about 29 and a half minutes. And then when that was done, she gave a deep breath, turned to him and said, what do you want?
Oh, wow.
You know, so, and it took 3 hours to separate the estate out. They both cried periodically. The other went over to console the other. I mean, it was just wonderful. But until that was let loose, and that came 12 hours after the mediation started, and it saved them both from a 3.5-week trial.
Wow.
And God knows how much cost, because they'd already spent close to $500,000 in legal fees and other fees before they got to that point.
Holy cow. Yeah, I mean, these divorces not only are so wrenching, I know in my mediation practice, I hear so many sad, just heartrending stories. And the fact that people are able whenever they are able to do what you just described, let it all out and then get real and then, you know, keep it together long enough to avoid a terrible court case or whatever. I mean, I have nothing but the highest respect for both of those parties. And by the way, not in small part because of the kind of training that you gave us this summer.
Well, thank you. One of the things we've now started to do with domestic divorce cases is when they come in, because you can't introduce whatever they say to each other into the courtroom, generally speaking.
Right.
We'll ask them, is there anything you wish to apologize for to the other? And boy, that is almost unreal, the responses. I'm sorry I had the affair. I'm sorry I didn't believe you. And it was true, real, authentic.
Mm. All right. Well, on that, that's a positive note. We're going to take our first break. When we get back, we're going to talk more with Bob Berlin. And I think we're going to talk about some mediation that you've been doing with gangs. And also, you were in Carrollton recently. I want to hear about that as well. So we'll hear from Tanner Health System and be back with you guys in 60 seconds. Stick around.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama, because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org. Or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
And we're back, everybody. And good morning. This is Lori Wilson with you. Second segment of our conversation today with Bob Berlin on Community Voice. Bob, did you make it through the break? Hey, Bob, did you make it through the break?
I think I did. Yes, ma'am.
I think you did, too. And I'm really glad because first of all, I wanted to just to ask you real quickly about your recent training that you did in Carroll County up here at the courthouse. What did you guys discuss? What was the topic of that session?
Well, it was bringing the mediators in your area together, which was as a result of the state commission, and having a few of us, Carolyn and I being one of the presenters, talking about different subject areas to the local mediators.
Mm.
What we talked about was emotional intelligence, meaning how do you feel as a mediator, and your listening audience, this is for everybody, not just mediators, but when you're involved in a conversation with anybody or interaction with anybody, are you aware of your own emotions? And then secondly, do you know how to control them? One of the mission statement of the SEALs is we're able to control our emotions so we can accomplish our objective. And then the third, besides controlling your own emotions, is being aware of the other person's emotions and then managing that relationship between you and the other person. So it's really having an awareness of, many folks will say, I don't care how they feel. Well, if you don't care how they feel, you may not have the quality of conversation you would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
They may not even listen to you. They just may wait for their turn to talk, which may not even be involved, may not even connect with what you said.
Yeah,
because most of us are trained talkers, not listeners.
That's true. Okay, that sounds like I missed it because I had another pressing engagement, i.e. teaching my students. But I was really glad to hear that you were in our area anyway. And kind of to piggyback on what we've been talking about with conflict and rebuilding of trust, talk to us about your experiences mediating with gangs.
Well, many people believe that the minute they hear the word gang, it's a negative, and certainly
I did.
What we experience out in the world in some areas, and it's probably everywhere now, or almost everywhere, are gangs, which really are in some instances, ways of talking about groups of folks that get together that don't have very strong family ties, and a gang becomes their family. Mm-hmm. Gangs are very entrepreneurial, believe it or not, connecting those two words. Most of what we hear about are the bad parts, but many of the folks that get recruited by and or join gangs do it so that they can have a sense of identity, because the gang in many instances provides the kinds of things that if you define a family without even using the word gang, many parts of that definition would, if you compared it to a definition of a gang, would be very similar.
Okay.
And I used to be very involved, well, I still am, with Big Brothers Big Sisters, and we would provide Big Brothers initially many years ago for fatherless boys or boys whose fathers were in the homes but didn't provide the kind of parental support from a father, which only a father can do. Many of the mothers, God bless them, who are divorced and they call themselves single parents, do both roles, and they do the best they can regarding the male role. So when you talk about gangs, if you took away many of the things we usually hear about, initiation practices which cause horror to the rest of the community, some of the objectives to finance the activities of the gang or bring the money, many of those things, probably the majority of it, is bad and violates laws. But if we found other ways to provide a familial way of dealing with folks, so that they have a place to go, they have folks and friends they can rely on, that would be wonderful. But we don't do that. There's quite a schism in our society, unfortunately, that, you know, us and them. And yet, for the grace of God, there go I. Many of us will say. I don't know if I'm answering it the way your question was posed, but I'm hoping I did.
Well, I mean, you certainly characterize, you've described, as you said, attributes or aspects of gang membership that probably we don't think about as much as the criminal activity with which we associate them. So, I mean, can you just give us an idea of what was the mediation about?
Well, when mediators get involved is when there's conflict. And the conflict was not within the family. It's how the gang members interfaced with other folks. And where somebody was threatened, a gang member was disrespected, and that gang member informed the rest of his or her buddies that I was so disrespected, and they grouped together to say, we will right that wrong for you. And then ended up at a fast food place that guns were waved around and physical fights broke out. And then as a result, the injuries that were suffered, suits were threatened. So we as mediators got involved with it to see if we could help them find a way out where they all can leave with some degree of honor, respect, because most folks are not listened to, and sometimes that's converted into, and legitimately so, well, if you're not listening to me, therefore I'm being disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes beyond my calling you names or calling you down or embarrassing you in public. Most often, many times, that's not occurring. And in mediation, we can provide a space where I can say to somebody, I am sorry, and done in a way that hopefully there will be some acceptance of it and some way to find common ground where we can move further. Of course, where injury does occur, we've got to see the way our society deals with it legitimately. We can't uninjure you. We have to find ways to put you, make you whole again, pay for your medical bills. If you suffered any pain, then, of course, we put a dollar figure on it. And those are the kinds of ways we try to make the person who's been damaged, injured, whole again.
How did you?
Of course, I'm using law words, and I know that. But
well, that's okay. We're following. I'm just curious as to who called you and said, "Hey, Bob, Carolyn, we've got a gang."
Many people, mediators are becoming more well known.
Okay.
If conflicts are already in the court system, those court systems and not all do that have these programs, the judges will say, "All right, I want this to go to mediation. I want to get it resolved. See if you can get it worked out before you have to have a trial before me," either me as the judge deciding it or a jury. So if you're involved in the courts and they have a program, they'll give a mediator call, "Bob, Carolyn, come on down, help us solve this thing."
And, you know, this is something that I'm really glad you brought up, because this is actually available to anybody if you have any kind of conflict with a landlord or with a spouse, and you really just want to kind of bypass the legal remedies, or at least the legal route altogether. You could get a hold of your local alternative dispute resolution office. That's just you could call a courthouse and just ask for the name of a couple names of mediators, and you could just sort of do this privately on your own and as quietly as possible without even entering the legal system, right?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't even suggest thoughts that you can call the courthouse. It's a good idea, but I would suggest you go on the internet and interview the mediators before you have any thought of hiring anyone, and just ask the kinds of questions that you have. How long have they done it? What kind of subject matters and areas? And keep this in mind, when we talk about conflict, only 30% of conflict, a little less than 30% of all conflicts in the courthouse and the lawyer's office, over 70% is out there. So there's so much more out there, and there are so many more mediators that do other kinds of work for institutions, corporations, and private citizens that don't go anywhere near the lawyer's office or the courthouse.
I'm just looking for the website. Let me see. That was Henry County. It's an ADR. It's alternative dispute resolution. And I think you just Google Georgia ADR and maybe your county if you want to find a list of registered mediators. And did I get that right, Bob?
No, well, you can, or you can just plug in, if you're doing an internet search, mediators, Carrollton, Georgia.
Oh.
I mean, many of us have websites, and you can do that and look at a website. And I do further suggest that you inquire of the individual. Tell me about you. It's like therapy. Try to connect with somebody that you feel comfortable with, because they're going to be they're going to be involved in part of your life. And some of these decisions are lifelong. So take a little time. It doesn't cost a penny for someone to call us up and say, "Well, tell me about you. What do you do? How do you do it? And what is mediation about?" Because we don't all do it the same way.
Well, that's a great idea, and it's also a great time for us to stop it, because we have one more segment coming up. But first, we have 60 seconds we want you to spend with Tanner Health System. They're our wonderful sponsor. And then we're going to talk, wait a minute, I'm getting a signal from Mr. Producer. He's asking me to wait for just a second, I think. Okay, good. We're good to go. Bob and everybody else, I'll be back in 60 seconds, so please stick around. We are having some fantastic, just some wonderful gremlins inhabiting our broadcast bungalow today. Bob, are you there? I don't have Bob. Hey, Bob, we're back. That was fast, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well, that's even better.
As I get older, life goes very quickly. They compare it to a roll of toilet paper. The older you get, when you get closer to the end, the faster it goes.
You know what? That's true. Why do you think that is? I'm really noticing that now. My husband, whom you know, my beloved, he and I will wake up on a Monday morning and we'll go, oh, well, you know what? Friday is going to be in about 6 hours, because that's how it feels. A busy week just goes by that fast. Why is that?
Well, I'm thinking, this is a guess on my part, when we're youngsters and we don't know anywhere what we know at this age, or as we grow older, we're taking in more and more and more, just like they ask professional football players, quarterbacks, is the game faster or slower from your point of view? And the longer they play quarterbacking, it gets slower, surprisingly, because they know where the defense, where they're coming from. When they're brand new, they don't know whether they're coming from the right, left, or middle. So so they're looking so quick, fast, all along the line, versus as they're getting very seasoned, they look over and say, I know where it's coming from.
Well,
so it appeared just like the brain when you look on TV and something bad is going to happen. It looks like it's going in slow motion. It's actually the brain going faster because it's moving faster and everything appears slower.
Well, it's a thing, that's for sure. Now, we have 3 minutes left. Can you believe it?
Oh, wow.
I know. So we're up against a hard break, but in the next 3 minutes, you and I were talking before the show about how divided our nation is, talking about conflict. And, you know, it's sewn into the fabric of our lives, be it, oh, we ran out of milk, that's a conflict, or family arguments, or gunning down people in Thousand Oaks, California, you were telling me about before the show. What's going on?
Well, unfortunately, it appears very strongly that we are a nation divided. And I follow that fairly closely on the news by watching about 4 or 5 different, both liberal and conservative shows.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not one person who was running or ran that talked about bringing us together. Because good leadership, and I teach the course at Mercer, good leadership is molding consensus, and not one even has talked about that. They draw lines in the sand, and even the interviews post the election yesterday by both the Republican side of the spectrum and mm-hmm. the Democrat side of the spectrum, nobody is talking about how do we bring, not bring them together, but how do we bring them together? And putting that up as a goal, how do we talk with one another? How do we listen to each other? Not that we have to agree, but at least to listen, not just to sit there and when someone is speaking that's on the other side, to just give them the time to speak. We end up with serial monologues and nothing gets anywhere. We need an honest dialogue to bring us to consensus.
And
that's,
I guess,
where my heart breaks, unfortunately.
I guess what that means in our one remaining minute is that we have to just start ourselves leaning into conversations rather than defending ourselves. So, you know, I have some friends who are politically so different than I, and would you agree with me that it's just sort of, instead of saying, well, you're wrong because of this, it's tell me why you believe this. Help me understand your viewpoint and just let them talk. That's all we can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But ask them, because we all want the same thing. Peace, happiness.
Yeah,
if
prosperity.
You ask for one word, you get that back.
Bob Berlin, it's so wonderful to talk to you. Will you come back for another show, please, sometime?
I'd love to. This is so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you. Love to Carolyn, and thank you, everyone, for being with us. Happy rest of the day. Make it.